We're now concluding Perek Yud in the Goyim with Mishnayis Tes and Yud. Mishnah Tes is the concluding Mishnah of the Inyan of Nesokim. The last Mishnah Yud deals with the Inyan of Karachas and Gabachas, the fourth of the Nigei Adam. So Mishnah Tes says, Mishahoya bo nesek igris, if there was a nesek kegris, v'nitak kol rosho, and this nesek spread over his entire head. Now remember that nesek can apply to the head area, the scalp, hair area of the scalp, or of the bearded area. So this halacha tells us that there's just this concept of pricha by beharis, if it covers the entire body. So there's a similar concept by Nesek. V'nitak kol rosho, the Nesek spread all over his entire scalp, and all the hairs fell out. So after, of course, after Hechlit or after Hezger, as long as there's some Tumah, because we said by Pricha, that Pricha is Metare after Tumah, and the same thing here, that the spreading of the Nesek is Metare after Tumah. So, it spreads over his whole head, his tohar. Harosh v'hazokon ein ma'akvin zed zeh. The two places of Nesokim, when it comes to this pricha, the spreading of the nesek, the head and the beard aren't ma'akiv each other. In other words, if it's only on the head, and the head is completely removed of hair, that's fine, it's tohar. If it the zokon, the beard has nesek, that wouldn't be tahor, but it's not ma'akev. If the beard doesn't if the beard isn't also completely removed of hair, the Russian and vice versa. So the Russian is zokon, ein ma'akvin zed zeh. They don't hold each other back. They're considered two separate areas, two separate different types of negoyim, in terms of the spreading of the nesek as a source of tahara, as a source of purification. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. This is the words of Rabbi Yehuda, and the Rambam passings like Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Shimon Omer ma'akvin zed zeh. Rabbi Shimon says the arma akev. If only the head was removed of hair, but the beard wasn't, there's no tara for the head, and vice versa. And Rabbi Shimon brings a kal v'chomer. Remember Rabbi Shimon. V'dinhu, ma'im or haponim v'yor habosur, by a beharis on the body, that requires a pricha of the entire area that's susceptible to tumas beharis. Well, the parts of the face where hair doesn't grow, like the forehead, the upper cheeks and the like, so those areas of the face, if they don't get a beharis, if they don't turn white, then it's not a complete pricha. It is ma'akev, the pricha. So Rabbi Shimon says, v'dinu t'kal v'chomer, ma'im or haponim v'yor habosur. When you have the ora panim and the ora basar sheyesh dover acher mafsik b'nehem, where you have a beard in between the forehead or the upper cheeks and the rest of the body, and we see nevertheless ma'akvim zed zeh, that if the forehead and the upper cheeks are ma'akev, if they don't have the pricha doesn't extend to them, it's ma'akev, even though there's a barrier, the beard, the ma'akvin zezeh, harosh v'yazokon, the head and the beard by nesokim, she'ein dover acher mafsik b'nehem, where there's no physical barrier, they're contiguous with each other, there's no physical barrier, she'ein dover echo mafsik b'nehem, ein odin. So doesn't make sense then that they should be ma'akev of each other. In other words, in an area where there is, we could give a reason why the prequel didn't spread to the, because there's a barrier. So you'll say up to that barrier, that's considered a complete prequel for the body. But no, we don't say that. We say that it requires the pricha to extend to the areas of the head that aren't areas of the face that aren't hairy. So here too, where the Rosh and Zokin have no physical barrier, that certainly the Pricha should extend, the removal of hair should extend to both. That's Reb Shimon's Svara. And then the Mishnah goes on. We pass in like Reb Yehuda, not like Reb Shimon. A Rosh v'Hazokin ein mitztorfim zeh mizeh. If there's a just as we have by Mikveh and Shechin, which are similar but slightly different in terms of what caused their tumah, what caused their wound, that a chatzi gris one next to the other is not mitztorev. So here too, if there was a chatzi gris of nesek by the scalp area, and right next to it in the beard area was a chatzi gris of nesek, they're not mitztorev to make a gris of nesek. Harosh v'yazokan ein mitztorev im zeh. V'im posim yizeh l'zeh. Nor does pisoyon help over there. If there was a half of if there was a nesek gris on the beard right by the borderline with the head, and it continued to expand, more hairs fell out going into the rush area, that's not a pisoyon. Or vice versa, from the head area into the beard area, in post mizelazem. Now eza hu zokon, what is the area of the zokon? Min haperik shalechi at pika shel gargaris. From the joint, I think it's the what we call the transmandibular jawbone, the joint of the jawbone, right by the ear, right under the ear, from that area until the pika shel grogeris is a little button of the by the throat, meaning the Adam's apple. We call the Adam's apple, the top of the Adam's apple is the area of what's considered Rosh is prone to of Zokan, I'm sorry, of Nesek HaZokan is extended from the area of the upper joint of the jaw down to the top of the Adam's apple. Mishnah Yud, there's only one Mishnah on Karachas and Gabachas, and that's really because Karachas and Gabachas is an extension of Tumas Baharis, but it's limited to these areas of the head. And here we're talking about a place where a person was bald, and I'll read the Rambam so we can get a little overview before we do the Mishnah. Hakarachas v'agabachas mitamos b'shnei simonim, which we'll have in the Mishnah. They're talking about two simonim, not three. B'michya u'b'pisoyon, with the michya, because it's by Harris, and the simoni tuma, or the appearance of michya kadosh in the middle of the Baharis, pisoyon if the Baharis extends. V'yeshbu en hezger shnei shvuos shenebo b'hen kamari tzaras or baser ulefish ein b'hem seir. Here we take it literally, kamari tzaras or baser, that is the union that its appearance is the appearance of the regular tzaras or baser, like any other baharis. Ulefisha ein bohem seir. Since we're dealing about, in the case of gabachas karachas, is whether either through natural hair loss or through some application of the depilatory, something which causes, or someone takes some medicine which causes the hair to fall out, chemo rachman leslon, something like that, which causes baldness, since there is by definition no hair there in karachas and gabachas. So she'ein bohem seir, ein seir halovin simin tuma bahen. The appearance of white hairs there would not be a simin tuma, because they're not going to appear. But even if they did, it's not the Rav has a based it on a pasuk, but it's not a simin tuma. Or we'll do the Mishnayis now. Akarachas v'agabachas mitamos b'shnei shvuos b'shnei simonim b'michyo b'pisoyon. The karachas and the gabachas, the areas, the front and the back of the scalp, which have lost their hair for whatever reason, it could be mina shemayim, that person suddenly became bald, it could be because of radiation, it could be because of some medication, or some depilatory. So, vir metamos, b'shnei shvuos, b'shnei simonim, b'michio, b'pisoyom. Now, the Torah tells us already, and so the Mishnah doesn't go to repeat it, that this is a type of tumas baharis. When those areas are plain skin, then like any other skin of the body, and tumas baharis, tumas or basur applies. So really, karachas and bachas is tumas or basur applied to the scalp area where there's no hair, at a time when there's no hair. And the metamos b'shnei shvuos, the hezger is two shvuos, b'shnei simonim with two simonim, b'michya u'b'pisoyon. With the michya live skin, as Rambam mentioned, u'b'pisoyon, or the spreading of the baharis. So the Rav brings down with michya u'b'pisoyon the ksiv, tzoras parachas. A spreading tzoras, meaning the beheres, in his karachas, and tzoras alamed shematame b'michyo. So tzoras tells us, like other tzoras of the orboser, that's matame b'michyo, and parachas, that it's spreading, alamed shematame b'pisoyon, that it's matame b'pisoyon. And the Rav here learns, as Gzeres HaKosuv, he, the Rambam simply derives it from the fact that these are bald areas, so it's not shaykh that there's going to be hairs there. These are areas that are totally bald. Now, karachas. What is karachas? And this applies to the gabachas also. There are two different places in the scalp. So the karachas is the back, and the gabachas is the front. Ochel neshem. So neshem is a type of sam. I read the Rav Sho Ochlo Eino Megadel Seir. He doesn't grow hair. Soch neshem, covered himself. He smeared some of this sam, a depilatory, over the scalp. Makash in Aruya Legadel, he received some type of a wound. Or a disease, she'ena ruya legadil seir. So we're dealing with a condition, either chemically induced or physically induced, or minashamayim, this hair just falls out, where he's not able to grow hair on the scalp. So now, ezehi karachas, what's the definition of karachas as opposed to gabachas? So mina kodko, the kodko is the top of the head. Hashofei liachorov, the karachas is toward the back, that from the top of the head to the top of the scalp to the back of his scalp. Ad pika sholtzavar, until the little bone felt at the base of the hairline in the back of the on the back of the neck. So that's the karachas, pikashol savor. Ezuhi gabachas, min hakodkod hashofei lefonav. From the peak of the head, now going forward to the front of his hair, akeneged sir milmalon. Up to the hair, that's, you know, on the top of his, where the hairline would be. So the Tosus Yamtav happens to speak about this. What does it come? So he says, nearly la fuke, that this comes to exclude sir gaboso inayim, that it will exclude the hair of the eyebrows. And he says, v'im evshur she yivoled sir bepadachas, if it would be possible that there'd be hair on the forehead, kadivri yakesa mishnah, besof Hilchos Avodah Zarah. There's a Kesef Mishnah that seems to hold that there can be hair on the padachas. The Baal Tosfos Yom Tov is very skeptical about that, but that would exclude that. It's just up to where the hairline is the where the hairline was is the karachas. M is the gabachas. The gabachas is the front, and the karachas is the back. Let me take a look at the Tiferes Yisrael. The Hainu Kishinoshu Kol Hasaros Minakuris Uemsoi from the middle point of his skull, Shabugalas Hanal, Bikol Khatsi Gugalas, Lusad Dahapanim towards the face, Miyozin Liozin. He says that it extends down on the side of the face from ear to ear. On the side of the face, to the ears. Not, you know, across the face from ear to ear, but to the ear area. The Pharisee Yisrael, Ad Osan Hasaro Shalomala Mi Hametzach, and toward the hairs that are above the forehead. And Mizeh Mitzode Hametzach, and also in the temple area. Is gabachas. Any hair on the scalp that's toward the in the area of the face, going down towards the ears, the temple area in the front, and the front of the hairline on the top of the scalp, all these are gabachas. It's Tiferes Yisrael. I don't think there's machlokas on it. Now the Mishnah goes on to say, even though they're two parts of the same head, if there's a half a gris of baharis on the gabachas, or in the front, and it's right next to a half of a gris on the kadachas, they're not mitztorif to a gris. Ein mitztorif zu mizu. The Einan Posos Mizulazu, and that's why the Torah calls them two different names, Karachas and Gabachas, not just because of, you know, the technical shape of the skull, but because they give them two different Shemos of Nega, and they're not mitzorif to each other. Einan Posos Mizulazu. If you had a gris that was by the middle of the scalp, by the gabachas, if it goes into the kadachas, karachas, if it goes into the karachas, it's not a, it's not considered a pisoyon, and vice versa. The enum poses mizulazu. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, imesh sir b'nehem, if for whatever reason there was hair in between them, it was a physical barricade, Einan Mitztorfos. V'imav Hari Elu Mitztorfos. But the halach is not like Rabbi Yehuda. We're talking about even if it's total baldness, even if there's no hair in between. So they're still not Mitztorfos. Now that's the end of Mishnah Yud. The I'd like to share with you an interesting vort. And by this way, this is at the conclusion of Perakir. We're concluding the four negoim that apply to a person or bosser, the dominant one, the michvin, the shrin, based upon wounds, where a baharis grows. It also applies to baharis. The nesek, which is not involved with baharis, but is involved with just the falling out of hair in the scalp or in the on the rosh, in patches, and karachas and gabachas, and on a bald person who's bald for whatever reason, where there is baharis, and the simoni tuma of the karachas gabachas is the michya in the middle. A square kadasha in the middle of the baharis, or the pisoyin of the baharis after the first week or the second week or after tara. Now the there's an interesting Italian achron named the Menachem Mizrahi Mipano, the Rama Mipano. He was brought down in Shulchan Aruch. He was in everything. He was a Mekubal. The Chassam Sofer refers to him as Rosh Mekubalim in a tshuva about using the pilatories. He said, if you want to argue about by Kalpi Kabbalah, when is not allowed to use one, it's talking about a tshuva where anti-Semites used to attack Jews with beards, where they could use the pilatories. So he says, if you want to say Alpi Kabbalah, a person is supposed to have a beard. He said, nevertheless, he said, the Ramami Pano, who is Rosh Mekubalim, used the pilatories. He said, most of the Italian rabbis. Now, the Ramami Pano was in the Halachi. He has Shals and Shuvis. He has a work called the Alfasi Zuta. He has all sorts of interesting works. And one of his works is called Asura Mamoros. And at the end of the first Maimon, which is the longest, it's about 100 pages long, he says, I think in the second to last chapter, he says, I want to explain the Gemara at the end of Bechoros, which, so that Ben Azai doesn't look like he violates all the rules of Derech Eretz. The Gemara at the end of Bechoros is Ben Azai says that all the Chachomim appear to him to be like Kenegdo, Klipas Hashem. To him, they appear like just simply the skin of a piece of garlic. And the usual understanding is that he's like the shum, and they're just, in terms of knowledge, you know, very in a very small fraction of his knowledge. Chusme Kareachazeh, except for this bald one, that's why I'm mentioning this now, Karachas and Gabachas, this Kareach Rebbe Akiva. And the Ramami Pano doesn't like it, because first of all, it seems like it's Gaivadik, and second, it's not shaykh to call Rabbi Akiva Koreach. There's a Tosfos that speaks, there are Rishonim who hold that Yeshua ben Korcha was the son of Rabbi Akiva because Rabbi Akiva was bald. Tosfos says that they wouldn't have called them, they wouldn't refer to Rabbi Akiva as Korcha, it's just not nice. In this sense, too, he wouldn't refer to him as Kireach, in a pejorative sense. So he the Marami Pano, Rav Menachem Mizrahi Mipano, says, learns out this statement of Ben Azai in the following sense. He says, Shum in Gematria Adbash. Gematria Adbash, the system of Gematria, where Aleph becomes Tav, and Tav becomes Aleph, Beis becomes Shin, and Shin becomes Beis, Resh becomes Gimel, etc. So, in Gematria Adbash, Shum, the Shin becomes Beis, the Vav, the sixth letter, the last letter from the end of the alphabet is Pei, the Vav becomes Pei, and the Mem and the Yud are transposed. And the Mem becomes Yud. So, Gematria of Adbash of Shum is Befi, in my mouth. And he says, Shum stands for Torah Shebal Peh. So now what Rabbi Ben Azai means, and he says further, the Ramami Pano, that anyone who cultivates shum, cultivates garlic, knows that the garlic is prone to infestation by small little snakes that attack the garlic plant. He says, these little snakes are the Baitusim, the Tzadukim, the Minim, the various heretics who lived in the time of Chazal, the various movements that caused that Chazal had to protect Yiddishkeit from. So Ben Azai is saying that it appears to him that all the other Chazal connect are serve the purpose of Klipas HaShum. What is the Klip of the Shum supposed to do? It's supposed to be a Shomer. It guards the inside of the Shum from infestation. It's a natural barrier. So their purpose is protect the Torah Shebal Peh. All the other Chachmei Yisrael, in his opinion, were like the Shomrei Torah Shebal Peh. They were the guardians of Torah Shebal Peh. With the exception of Koreach Zeh, says Koreach is based upon, in fact, the Rav in his Perek quotes that pasuk. It says by it says Kareyachu Torhu, that if a person, if the nesek spreads over the entire head and he's bald, Kareyachu Torhu, so he's Tor. Kareach is a sign of Tor. So Kareachu Torhu is referring to Kareach as the Torhu, as the most taharidic, the most pure of the Tanoi of that time, Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva wasn't a shomer, a guardian of the Torah Sheval Peh. He was the quintessence of the Torah Sheval Peh. He was essentially Torah Sheval Peh. And that's why the Gemara in Sanhedrin says that all of the major Tanaitic works that followed Rabbi Akiva's time, the Sifra, the Sifrei, the Mechilta, the Seder Olam, all of these works were written by the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva. And the Gemara says, Kula Aliba the Rabbi Akiva. All of them are according to Rabbi Akiva's Shittas. So Rabbi Akiva was a predominant force in Torah Sheval Peh. So he was like the Shum, the Befi, the Torah Sheval Peh, the essence of Torah Sheval Peh, and the other Chachamim were the guardians, the protectors of Torah Sheval Peh from the attacks of heretical groups. Okay, so we finished the first 10 Prakim, and now we have one chapter coming up on Nigi Begodim, two chapters in Nigi Batim, and then the final chapter, the 14th chapter, is about the Tara, the Korbanos, that a Mitzorah brings when he's ready to be Tohar and re-enter society.